Hello, hello again. This is Mace Hoff. I want to welcome you to the Medical Sales Guru Podcast and the Medical Sales Channel on YouTube. Whichever way you're coming in, gosh, I'm glad you're here. Let me try to make this worthwhile for you. Each week, I talk about something that's very, very important in the world of medical sales. Now, you're obviously either working in the world of medical sales or you want to work in the world of medical sales, or you have no clue why you're listening to this. You were browsing around YouTube looking at crazy cat videos and you said, let's see what this white-haired guy is talking about. And you clicked on it. And at this point, you're probably trying to wake up. So wake up, go find another crazy cat video and have a nice day. But for those of you who came here to learn about medical sales, let me see if I can make this worth your while. Now, the name of my company is Sales Pilot. Why do I call it Sales Pilot? Because I'm a pilot. And so much of what you learn in the world of aviation, it applies to the healthcare environment, especially if you work in the operating room, complex procedures. You've heard about checklists. In fact, a lot of surgeons use checklist protocols which come from the world of aviation. So there's a lot of cross-referencing, and it's really cool. Flying is like one of the coolest things in the world. It's one of the coolest things I've ever done. It's just amazing. So many people take it for granted because their only experience with flying is they get on a Delta or American or United, and they're sitting in the back, and it's just a glorified bus in the sky. In fact, the service these days might be a lot better on the bus. Usually the people are nicer. But the thing about flying is that there's all these technologies, and one of my favorite pieces of technology in aviation is the autopilot. Now, for years, I flew around without an autopilot, and it was a lot of work because, you know, you're always flying the plane by hand, and if you're flying in instrument conditions, it's just physically exhausting. Well, all of a sudden, I bought a plane. Well, it wasn't all of a sudden, but it was, you know, I transitioned from one aircraft to another aircraft, and my new aircraft had an autopilot. And what's amazing is you basically push a button. You set your heading, you set your altitude, you push a button, and the plane pretty much flies itself. It's on autopilot, as we say. Now, some of you might be used to a similar situation in your cars. You know it as cruise control. In fact, cruise control has evolved with, it has the technology which keeps you in your lanes and it lets you know if you're drifting from the lanes. And it'll even stop your car before you hit something, which is really good for the drivers down here in South Florida where I live because they hit stuff all the time. It's just part of driving in Florida. In fact, your insurance says, you know, you're allowed to hit so many things each year. I think it's like 10 or 12. You know, you could hit as many things as you want. But once you hit that 12 figure, they up your insurance. I'm making this up, just trying to have a little fun with this. But autopilots are really, really great in an airplane. But here's the thing. An autopilot can also be really dangerous. What do I mean by that? Well, sometimes autopilots fail. Or let me give you an example. Your autopilot might fail in a situation where the attitude indicator, which tells you that and tells the autopilot that your wings are level, if something's failing, a lot of autopilots, for other words, if your attitude indicator fails and the plane starts to go into a turn, the autopilot will just follow the course, which is being dictated by the attitude indicator. So this could be really bad because if you're not paying attention as the pilot, you will find yourself turning, the aircraft will be turning, and you may not even know about it if you're in instrument conditions, if you're not paying attention. And this is inexcusable, by the way. But the things with autopilots is when they're working great, they're great. But when they start to fail, and the failures can be very, very insidious, where unless you're really looking for the failure mode, you could miss it sometimes until it's too late. Another situation, if you're flying on autopilot, and let's say you fly into a very, very bumpy cloud, well, the autopilot is going to maintain given altitude, given airspeed. You fly into a bumpy cloud where there's a lot of turbulence. You might be going too fast for the turbulence, which could actually damage the airframe. And needless to say, if you damage the airframe, bad things can happen to the aircraft and to the people in it. So autopilots are a good thing. And they're a bad thing. So you're probably saying, well, this is great, Mace. Thanks again for one of your flying lessons. I could care less. There's a point here. A lot of medical sales professionals operate on autopilot. In fact, they will often describe whatever they're doing, whether it's making a sales call, making a service call. They'll say, you know, I've done this so many times, I'm on autopilot. You know what I'm talking about. What does this look like in the medical sales world? Well, if you're calling on a customer, it's where you got your pitch down. I mean, you know exactly what you're going to say every time. You don't even have to be thinking about it. In fact, you could be running through baseball scores in your head and talking to the doctor. And, you know, and yes, doctor, this is a magnificent product. It comes in 7 sizes, 4 colors, and it will run on either AC current or battery. We could bring it in tomorrow. What time would you like to start? It's just coming out. You're not even thinking. That's on autopilot. And just like in the airplane, this can be a good thing. Because a lot of times, with a lot of practice, you have the verbiage down. You're very confident. You can deliver it in a confident manner where the customer is going to feel a level of confidence in working with you. But it could also be a bad thing. You see, when you're on autopilot, just like in the airplane, you're not paying attention to the things that are happening around you. And you could find yourself in a bad situation. An example in the healthcare environment might be, let's say you sell a product that's used for a certain procedure, and you've done this procedure, you've been with surgeons who are doing this procedure, or interventional cardiologists, you've watched them put in thousands of stents, and it always goes smoothly. It's on autopilot. But then there's that case, there's that patient where the surgeon's having a little bit of difficulty and he or she just can't advance the catheter like they're supposed to, and it's getting hung up, but you're not watching because this case is just like every other one. You're on autopilot. You're not seeing the insidious signs of trouble where you need to take control and fly it by hand. You see, autopilot's a good thing, but it's also a bad thing. So here's the recommendations. Here's the takeaway from this short but important podcast. Know your talking points. Know how everything works. Know how it's supposed to work. But also make sure you're intimately familiar with the failure modes. Don't only become familiar with them. Make sure you get the opportunity to see what they actually look like. We live in the video age. One of the beauties of the video age is that there are videos on just about everything. Your company, the surgeon designers, the physician designers, the engineers probably can provide some video on what the failure mode looks like. In fact, if there is a failure mode for your product, you want to know what it is. You want to see what it looks like. Or you at least want to have it described to you by said engineer or surgeon, physician, designer, whoever it is, and operate with the expectations that everything is going to go as planned. But always, always be looking out for the gotchas, those things that signal you're about to enter turbulence and you need to slow down. You need to release the things that constrain what you're doing in a way that can cause harm to the patient, number one, or to the physician's reputation. Could expose him or her to liability. Be on the lookout. That's a big part of your job. And if you're truly a professional, I would suggest that you banish the term autopilot from your vocabulary, because you should never be operating on autopilot. In fact, it's great when things are routine and you hope that every procedure is routine. You don't ever want to be a standout if you're the patient. You want to be like the, you know, the 200 that surgeon had before you where it just went smooth as silk. But you have to be prepared for that one time, and you have to be aware. You have to have an awareness where you're looking out for what's not right, what's wrong, what can cause a problem. Make sense? Good. Then go out and start taking flying lessons. You'll have a ball. But don't start off with an airplane with an autopilot right away, because trust me, it can make you a little lazy if you're not careful. Speaking of lazy, I encourage you as a medical sales professional not to be lazy about making sure that you hone your skills and you have a very, very clear mindset of exactly the sales process that you need to employ to sell your product or service successfully. Now, most sales reps that I work with, whether it's in a corporate setting, when I'm doing a workshop, or when I'm delivering a keynote presentation, and I speak with them about their sales process, I usually get this kind of look. Sales process? Yeah, sales process. You have to have a sales process. And that sales process can't be on autopilot. It's going to vary from customer to customer and patient to patient. It might vary very little, but you have to know, again, those nuances I was just talking about. I created something called Medical Sales Academy. Medical Sales Academy will enable you to sell in the most effective way, where your sales conversation will always be tailored to the specific interests, needs, and goals of the person you're speaking with. Do you think that's important? It's everything. And here's the beauty for you. 96% of the people who sell don't do it that way. And if you're in that 96% group, God bless you, you're going to make sales. And if you have a great work ethic, you'll probably do very, very well. But that other 4%, they're working smarter, not necessarily harder, and they will outsell you because they're selling smart as well as working hard. It goes together. So right now, as I'm recording this, enrollment for Medical Sales Academy is not open. We only open it a few times a year, so I can give you some personal attention when you first come on board. And in fact, you will get personal attention from me and the other people online throughout the year via the Medical Sales Academy forum. And I'm on there every day. Whenever there is a message or a question or a request posted, I also do a monthly webinar to keep you up to date on the most important things in medical selling. And it's something I advise that you check out. If you'd like more information, go to medicalsalesacademy.com. On the bottom of the page, there's a place where you can put your email to be notified when enrollment opens. Or if you want to do it the quick and easy way, just send a text notify MSA to 44222. It's on the screen right here. Notify MSA, all one word, NotifyMSA, to 44222. And that's it for this episode of the Medical Sales Guru Podcast and the Medical Sales Channel. I'm Mace Haroff, reminding you that whatever you do in your medical sales career, the patient always comes first. Go out there and make a difference. I'll talk to you again next week on the Medical Sales Guru Podcast. Bye for now.